give a big hand, would you? All right, okay, to the media people putting this together. That's great. So good to see so many of you this evening here. Say to your neighbor, good to see you all. Would you do that with one another? Okay, that's great. That's wonderful. All right, that's especially to see the first row been filled up completely. Okay, this is so good to see that. Okay, it is like last Sunday I preached in Dream Center Ipoh. The whole place was packed out. Okay, and Pastor Key and Pastor Eng Lee were there as well. Okay, I give a new title now. That's great. That's wonderful. Okay, but so good to be in the house of God, isn't it? In the worship of God. Okay, praising, rejoicing, and celebrating His grace, His goodness upon us all. I want to press on, okay, in speaking about overcoming discouragement and depression, which I thought is important in the light, especially, friends, in this last 2 years and all that we're going through, isn't it? Never dealt with this topic the last 42 years. I thought I'd handle it this weekend for all of us to see what the Word of God has to teach us and help us to overcome this kind of things that are afflicting many, many people in Malaysia around the world. And therefore, a passage of Scripture that will help us is actually Psalm 42. All right, I call it actually a Psalm of Depression, actually. Psalm 42, actually two Psalms, 42, 43. We just focus on Psalm 42. Could you stand with me? Let's read in, again, our strongest, loudest, most robust, okay, DMC voices. You want to take off your mask to read? By all means, do so as well. Come together. One, two, three, let's go. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour up my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading a procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs His love. At night, a song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my soul taught me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Father, again, we thank and praise you for amazing word that, O God, you will inscribe, preserve over the centuries for all of us, for our teaching, training, instruction, correction, so that, Father, we as your people may be equipped for every good work and deed. So help us, speak to us, and draw us in response, Father, I pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Will you take your seats, please? Amen. How many of us, we have been discouraged in the last 2 years, at least once, can I see you? How many of us? Okay, all right. How many of us sometimes don't get discouraged? We're discouraged more than once, many times, bordering on depression sometimes, isn't it? Now, that's a reality we are faced with. Friends, you know, as we go to this unusual globe, somebody call it global trauma that we're going through. Amazing, isn't it? All right, it is not just us, it is across the whole world. Unbelievable, why? Because you and I have to wear masks and continue to force to wear masks on an airplane. It's compulsory to wear masks. You know, sometimes I think about masks, they are meant, you know, for whom? Masks are meant for bandits, robbers, and terrorists. Hello? But you see what has happened to the world. And you're forced to do it. And if you don't do it, you are being despised, you're being sidelined, you do all kinds of stuff like this. What a world we are living in is. And as a result, you know what happens? We're under stress, we're under duress, we're under all kinds of pressure to comply, to conform, and so on and so forth. And this results, friends, you know what? A sense of burden, a sense of, friends, you know, heaviness we're carrying our lives through. Friends, you know, this kind of stuff can result in despair, if not even depression. And that's the reason why, friends, you know, especially this last 2 years, as we all know, okay, whole area of depression has skyrocketed. It has doubled, all right? We've never seen this kind of things happening. But that's the reality for us, for why? Because especially discouragement, when it is prolonged, will lead to despair and depression. And that's the reality. But the amazing thing is, friends, the Word of God has something to address about this issue. In fact, all kinds of human emotions and feelings, the Word of God, particularly the book of Psalms, has something to tell us about. And so, friends, when you and I are challenged in different ways, can I urge you, look through the book of Psalms, there are many, many things, friends, that will really help us to tackle the issues or challenges of emotions and things we're going through in life. So it will help us, friends, that by the grace of God, we pray, to recover, to be restored to the way we are. And so, friends, you know, this evening, this afternoon, we're going to look at the whole area of discouragement leading on to depression and how to deal, how to handle it. Now, friends, you know, the psalmist here is very honest, all right, in telling us his own situation he's in here, all right, here in Psalm 42 and the first part of verse 5, and it's repeated the same as well, okay, in that of verse 11. Okay, the psalmist here tells us, okay, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? So the psalmist is really feeling very low, feeling weighed down, burdened, downcast, totally discouraged, if not even depressed. See, friends, that's an amazing thing about the Word of God. It tells us honestly how the people of God feel, in this case here, absolutely, as it were, laid low, completely, totally. What are the causes that can produce this kind of situation? And you notice, friends, in this psalmist, he tells us the kinds of things that has resulted in him being discouraged, even depressed in this situation. What are they? For example, we find that here in this case, the psalmist is finding God very distant, God far, far away. Why? Because verses 1 and 2, the psalmist here tells us, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go meet with God? When can I go? And it's repeated in the first part of verse 9, okay? The psalmist says, I say to God, my Lord, why have you forgotten me? God appears to be far, far away. There is, as it were, a silence from heaven, isn't it? And I'm sure sometimes we feel like that, isn't it? We feel God very far. We are not connecting at all. We're just wondering whether our prayers has any effect, any influence, any impact whatsoever. It is as if our prayer just hitting the ceiling and coming back to us like this is it. And so, friends, in that kind of situation, it must be hard and difficult. Now, think about it, friends. If you and I who are Christians feel like that, how much more for non-Christians? When they have no one to call to, don't know who to call to and what to call to. And one of the farmers in our church actually just told me that 2 days ago, I got so many referrals coming to see me, all right, sharing about the problems of depression they're going through, all right? And many of these are non-Christians. Okay, we have never seen, I've never seen so many cases like this, and that's a reality. And she's just one of so many examples, friends, again and again across Malaysia, around the whole world as well. Think about it, friends. If Christians can go through this, how much more worse it will be for non-Christians. What a tragedy. But friends, can I add, sometimes for some people, certain people, they feel God far, far away. You know sometimes what I say to them? Who has moved in this case? Isn't it? Who has moved in this case? Is it actually you or God? So sometimes we're not careful. We say God is far away. We don't realize actually we have moved. Why? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all God's people say, isn't it? So sometimes we got to check on ourselves, isn't it? That we have wandered off and we thought God is far away. But God has always been there. But here in this psalm here, the psalmist shares us honestly, finding God really distant. And on top of that, you're not only feeling God distant, but also secondly, feeling overwhelmed by the situation that he is going through. Why here in first part of verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night. And then verse 7, he goes on to say, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. Totally overwhelmed by his situation, by all that he's going through. Really hard-pressed in so many ways. Really sinking, as it were, into the depths of the sea. In fact, friends, you know what? All right? All your waves and breakers have swept over me. This were the exact words used by Jonah when he was in the stomach of a fish. All the waves and breakers, they have swept over me. All right? It's a real sinking feeling, right? When one thing after another thing starts to go wrong for you in your life, especially the last 2 years. Sickness, illness, relationship problem, work problem, business problem, okay, studies problem, and so on and so forth. It's hard, it's difficult, isn't it? For many, okay, of you students, many of our children, right, having to study online, it's a totally different experience altogether. It is hard, it is difficult, isn't it? So much so that one mother sent us a photograph, right, okay, studying online, okay, and what happens was, he shows a photograph of the son switching computer on, But you know what? The son put a big, huge picture of himself in front of the computer, okay, as it were to let the teacher say that he's sleeping. But he was just sleeping on the sofa, okay? And the mother took a picture and forwarded to us, says, see, my son, what has he done? I know it is hard, it is difficult, isn't it? Right, for us to go through this kind of experience that we never, never encountered before. Not only friends, you know, the psalmist here feels God distant, felt overwhelmed by the whole thing. That's one more thing. And this is really bad and hard. Why? Because in this case, he was further taunted by people around him. All right? What do people around him say to him? For example, verse 3, my tears went forth day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? And verse 10, my bones suffered mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? All day long, he has been challenged. All right? All day long, people sometimes say to us, where is your God? I thought your God is all-powerful. All right? Especially in the midst of this pandemic. Is he really powerful? I thought your God will protect you. How come you're down with COVID, whatever else? In fact, just yesterday I just had a text. Remember the first COVID patient in Malaysia to die from it? It was actually Pastor David Chang, okay, in Kuching, Sarawak, right? I spoke at a conference, 3 day, two nights conference. He was there throughout the whole retreat of Sarawak pastors and leaders, right? All seven sessions he was there. A week later, I was told he was down with COVID-19. I was really very burdened and concerned and praying for him. Okay, and then a week later after that, he died. The first COVID patient in Malaysia to die. All right, and I was concerned. Why? Because in those early days, especially like this, you have no contact after that with a loved one of yours. The person is just cut off and buried just like that with no contact. It must be hard and painful for the wife and the children, right? Not to say goodbye at all. So I decided to text her again and say, how are you doing? Are you all right? So glad, so wonderful to hear. Say, Pastor, we are doing all right. Thank you so much for your concern, for your burden, for your prayer for us like this. But friends, you know, it can be hard and difficult, especially when it comes from non-Christians. They challenge you. Where's your God? You think your God is so powerful. How come you can't do this? How come you're depressed? How come you behave like this? Isn't it? I thought your God will provide for you. How come your God is not providing for you? Right, in all that you're going through, I thought your God would really bless you in such a wonderful man. How come? What kind of God is this you're loving and serving? That kind of thing. Must be hard, difficult, isn't it, for the psalmist himself? And he shares with us his honesty. Friends, you know, it is not sometimes. It says here, all day long, I've been challenged again and again. This might be experience for some of us, isn't it? As we interact with friends and loved ones around us, sometimes this will come from our parents. What kind of God do you believe in? How come things like this happen to you? How come you're not doing as well as you should be doing? Look at your neighbor's kids. How come they're doing better? Right? Must be really hard and painful, isn't it, for us to go through something like this. But you know what, friends? It is even made worse. In what manner and form? This discouragement, despair, depression, even made worse by a few more things. What are the things that has made it even worse for the psalmist here to share with us all? Firstly, he is cut off from God's people. In what way he is cut off from God's people? Here in first part of verse 4, these things I remember as I poured out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, how I used to go with God's people, right, to the temple of God in worship. Now I can't do this anymore. I can't gather with the people of God. I've been totally isolated. And this is what is happening, friends, right now in this pandemic, you see. We are cut off. Today is such a good experience. Amen. It says something, encouraged me, like, amen. Really, you know, to see one another like this. Some of them told me just now as I walk around before, all right, I walk around to greet different people, more so to encourage myself. Like. But I said, Pastor, the first time I'm here in church, first time, wow, I said, I almost could not recognize you all already. Okay, isn't it? But it's so good, you and I know, isn't it? To be with the people of God's way, we are social beings and not social things. And beings need relationship. Beings need interaction. Beings need face-to-face encounter. And that's why our kids, for example, who have been not been able to go to school the last 2 years, for example, it has caused a stunt in their development, right? Both mentally as well as emotionally. Our principal of the Joy Charity has just told me a few days ago, right? Kids coming back now, they struggle a little bit, right, in dealing, handling certain things, unlike, okay, earlier times like this. Those are some realities we are faced with, isn't it? Why? Because we all need to be together, okay, as a people of God, in friendship, in relationship, in chatting, in talking, doing so many things, and it's so wonderful, isn't it, for us like this. Not only friends, you notice here this psalmist here has been cut off from God's people, but also friends, you know, he has been cut off from the house of God. Why? The same verse there, verse 4, it says, how I used to go to the mountain, leading the procession to the house of God. Isn't it? Able to lead God's people to a place like this in worship. Can I urge those who are watching online to come and join us? Because you and I know, friends, you know, nothing beats it but by getting together in the house of God. Amen. Isn't it? Nothing beats it whatsoever. Two persons here in UMC. One came after 1.5 years not being able to come here in worship. When she came for the first time during worship, she was crying all the way through. Another person came here after 2 years for the first time. He was also crying during a time of worship. Friends, we are designed, is it, by God to be in corporate worship together, because why? There is a grace, anointing, okay, and the freedom of God allows us to express ourselves in the one in praise, in worship, and prayer. Amen, isn't it? And that's so important for all of us. Not being able to gather in the house of God is really a pain for many, many of us, isn't it? And that's why in some churches, you know what? Right, when it first opened up, more of the older people come. I thought, hey, where are the young people? How come it is just more old people come? They're all in their 60s, 70s, 80s. They cannot wait to want to come to church. Brother, friends, you know, it's a reminder to all of us, isn't it? The privilege of gathering in the name of the Lord to worship, to praise God. And if God is present here, friends, fear not. Trust Him, isn't it? So important for all of us, if God is present, all right, there's a grace and unusual blessing and goodness of God flowing through each one of us like this, isn't it? And that's why, friends, when we gather and worship like this, signs, wonders, healing, deliverance flow in unusual manner and form for all of us like this. And so, friends, you know, here is a psalmist sadly not only be cut off from God's people, cut off from the house of God, but also, friends, on top of that, he's cut off from festivity. Why? Because the third part of verse 4, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving amongst the fact, he was not able to lead God's people to the house of God in praise, worship, and celebration. How many of us, we think celebration once in a while is good for all of us? Can I see your hands? Okay. How many of us like to celebrate regularly? See your hands. Okay. It's normal, natural, isn't it? I know sometimes Doris asks me, what food do you like? Chap fan. Next day, what would you like? Chap fan. Wow, so bland one. So I learn now. I repent of my sins now. Now once in a while we go a bit of celebration, can or not? Yeah, I can. Thank you for encouragement. We all need that, friends, you know, isn't it? Because we all need, okay, an to be built in us in celebration, fun, laughter, and joy, isn't it? Which is so important for all of us in this regard, isn't it? And friends, how sad it is for this psalmist being divorced, all right, from fun, laughter, celebration, festival, joy, and everything else like this. Isn't it? No wonder he is weighed down. No wonder he is depressed. And you can't blame when someone is cut off from God's people, from the house of God, as well from celebration. No wonder a person feels like this, isn't it? And especially when they're isolated and hemmed in your house. It must be tough and difficult, especially the first few months of the pandemic when it hit us like this. It must be tough. And there's some people, they just went crazy. Friends, you know, in this pandemic, some people have disappeared. And their family has no idea to this very day where they are. You know that? No idea where they are. More than that, some husbands have disappeared and their wives don't know where their husbands have been. So stressed out by the whole thing, basically pack up and give up and just walk out. Whether he or she is alive or not, the family has no idea. It must be hard and painful, isn't it? It must be a real stressful situation for the family to go through. But friends, you know, that's what happens sometimes when we're under that kind of pressure. We just give up. We just pack up. We just walk out. We just disappear. But you and I know, friends, when we walk out, disappear, that doesn't solve the problem. Amen. That doesn't solve the problem. Very important. But there's one more thing, friends, the psalmist just struggles with. Not only he's cut off from God's people, he's cut off from the house of God, he's cut off from celebration and fun and joy and festivity and laughter. Finally, friends, he's cut off from the land. Why? Because here in the second half of verse 6, it tells us, my soul is downcast within me, therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. You see, the psalmist remembers from the land of Jordan, Mount Mizar and Mount Hermon. Where is that? There is a northern part of Israel. But the celebration takes place in Jerusalem, where the house of God is, where the temple is. You know what I mean? So poor guy, he's stranded up there in the north. So not only cut off from God's people, from God's house, and from festivity, cut off from the land, he could not be with the people there. Friends, you and I all know, land is a very important thing. Why? Because land gives us a sense of belonging. We belong to Malaysia. Amen? It gives us a sense of belonging. Not only land gives us a sense of rootedness. Our roots are here. And that's why, friends, a good way of this person who wants to tell everybody, all right, about his rootedness is he bought a burial plot. Friends, if you buy a burial plot, quite serious, isn't it? To show to the people, because he just moved into the community as a pastor, all right? And people wonder, so pastors come and go, really not true or not? Is he serious or not with us? Will he really walk through with us long-term or not? And in order to try to communicate his commitment, he bought a burial plot in that land, in that area, to say, I'm with you all the way to the end. And you and I all know, isn't it? Land is something that is so important for all of us. And that's why friends of mine I met up with over in the U.S. when I was having my sabbatical at Fuller Theological Seminary, some old friends from the days of City One, days of Jurassic Park, that kind of thing. We connected, and they are in the early 70s then, at that point of time. You know what they were telling me? They want to come home. I said, you left more than 50 years ago, your children grown up there, your grandchildren, everything, and now you want to come home. Why? Because why? It is natural for us oftentimes to think about home. Amen. And home is Malaysia. Hello? Isn't it? Very strange. I was in Hong Kong for the first time, I think in 1986 actually. Okay, in those days, Malaysians are not allowed to go to China. Okay? And I was there in a ferry. I could see, all right, the mainland of China just across. You know what? I felt homesick. Very strange. I don't know how come. I felt homesick when I look at China. I have no idea, no reference, never been there at all. I felt homesick. Why? Because you and I know, whether like it or not, there's home for us once upon a time. Amen? It's natural. All right? Wherever you and I go, friends, anywhere around the world, okay, after a while, we cannot wait to come back to Malaysia, the best country in the whole world. Amen? Isn't it? Yeah. After all the wonderful, fancy places I've been, I cannot wait to come back home. To Malaysia, really, you know what I mean? This land is so good and so blessed in so many ways. Why? Because a natural desire and longing to be home, why? To be in the land. That's where you belong. That's where your commitment is. That's where you're not alienated whatsoever. And that's the reason, friends, you Peter the poor psalmist is struggling through all these issues in his life like this, not only externally, but also internally within himself in his journey of faith, all right, in God like this. Therefore, if that is so, how do we overcome such discouragement, despair, and depression? How do we deal with it? Friends, you know, amazing that psalmist gives us some answers, right, to help us in this regard here. How to overcome such discouragement, despair, okay, and depression? Firstly, friends, talk to self. Right, why? Because here in the first part of verse 5, the psalmist says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? What is the psalmist doing? The psalmist is talking to himself. Now, friends, when you start talking to yourself, what is a sign that people look at you and say, right now, if you young people start talking to yourself at home, your mom and dad will be quite worried, isn't it? But yet, friends, you know, can I say? The psalmist tells us, talk to yourself. Give an example. There is a guy by the name of Jerry Levin. Jerry Levin, he was head of CNN based in Beirut, okay, in Lebanon, in the early 1980s, working for CNN. Brilliant guy, Jewish background, atheist, true and true, although married to a Christian girl, true and true atheist, reject everything else. And then he was kidnapped in March 1984. As you know, in those early period in the 80s, a lot of kidnappings taking place in the Middle East, and he was kidnapped, okay? And then by the Muslim Hezbollah, he doesn't know whether he'll be dead or alive. No idea whatsoever. He's kept in solitary confinement, a small little cell, chain, actually. What happens is, right by a chain, right to a drain pipe, so he could hardly stand up. He has to lie down all the time. If he lies down all the time, it's also not very good, isn't it? in the process of going through that, which is so hard and difficult, totally isolated, you know, he started to try to keep his mind alert as a brilliant Jewish guy. Occupy his mind, that's a way to keep himself alert, okay, as the sane, all right, in some ways like this. So he thinks about all the wonderful sports and sports events he has been to, because he's big time into sports. After finishing, think about all the sports events and star players and all this kind of American football and so on and so forth. Then he talked about all the operas he has been to, all right, been a lover of music, all the operas. After he has finished thinking about all the operas, then he thought, I must also think about my marriage and relationship with my wife, Sister Levin. So he talked about wonderful moments, tender moments, and so on and so forth. He finished that. Then he talked about people and places. After talking about people and places, he went on for a few weeks. He has got nothing else to think about now. So what do I do? Then you know what happens? He started discovering. Slowly, slowly, he started talking to himself. That's when you got him really worried. Because why? Only madman talks to himself. Right now. And this is a record for us, right, for you and I, there is recorded here. It says, it seems the first step towards madness is talking to yourself. But he has to talk, though. To whom? To his guards? Hardly. To God? He didn't believe in God. How could he talk to him? But he must talk. He must. But prayer, being an atheist, prayer has always seemed an absurd, valueless act. The people doing it are fooling themselves who pray. They weren't talking to this thing called God. They were simply talking to themselves. Yet, the author wrote, yet they hadn't gone crazy. Amen. Those who talk in our prayer, we have not gone crazy. Amen. That's what he shocked him, because why? From his perspective in prayer, you Christians are talking to nothing. You're actually talking to yourself. It has no value. And yet he says, oh, these Christians have not gone crazy. Amen. Hey, say louder. Amen. Okay, otherwise I'm worried myself now also. Yet they had not gone crazy. No. And yet I had no right to talk to him. Because why? I've dismissed him completely. And then this final bit. Not unless I believe 100% about him. Not unless I, even as atheist, would believe 100% about him. I have no right, no business to talk to him. In an amazing manner, friends, there in solitary confinement, not knowing whether he'll be alive or dead. Finally, friends, finally, he crossed, in his own words, the Rubicon of my life. I went from darkness to light in a process like this, in solitary confinement. Friends, here is an example. Although it's scary when we start talking to ourselves, but friends, can I say, there's biblical, okay, support for you and I. So friends, can talk to ourselves. Hello? Why are you downcast? Especially friends, when you're laid down, when you're weighed down, that kind of thing, you don't want to get up anymore. You just want to keep on lying down, keep on lying down and down. I know that's a sign of depression. Sometimes, friends, you know, talk to yourself. Why am I like that? Why am I doing this? You know, just keep on and not talking to yourself. Because why? Sometimes we're going to hear it with our own ears verbally. That honest soliloquy, as it were, with ourselves like this. Not only the friends, the psalmist here tells us, talk to ourselves. Secondly, friends, the psalmist tells us to turn to God. Why? Because put your hope in God. Talk to yourself and turn our attention to God. What is this that you are doing? Why are you like this? All right? Call upon him. Talk to him. Right? Turn our focus away from ourselves. Why? Because when people are discouraged, especially depressed, you know what happens? They are very self-absorbed. You know, whole day long, they're just caught up with themselves. Pity me, right? And they cannot see beyond. And sometimes we need to come alongside and help these people to say, you know, I know it's not easy. This, we have to be sensitive and gentle in walking through with these people to help them to focus attention not on themselves but on God. See? But friends, you know, the psalmist takes us one step further. Not only that, to choose to praise God. Why? Because it says here, for yet I will praise him, isn't it? I will praise him, and that's so important. And friends, you know, sometimes when we come to a church, how many of us sometimes, okay, when we come to a church, what happens? We just don't feel like worshiping God. Can I see your hands? Any one of you here? Okay, God, huh? Thank you, Pastor Key. All right, okay. The rest of us, I trust we have been honest. We're telling the truth. Hey, you're in church, you know. Okay. Yeah, sometimes we actually don't feel like. But you know what I say to people? When you come to a church, just do it. It's an act of the will. This is what, yet I will praise him, my Savior, my God, isn't it? So you choose to praise him. You don't feel like, don't allow your feelings to dictate whether you worship God or not, isn't it? Because well, sometimes feelings are not reliable. Hello, isn't it? Because if we run our lives depending on feelings, we're in big trouble. Well, sometimes when things are good, fantastic, we are so wonderful. But when things are not so good, our feelings are low, then what happens if we're not careful? Our life becomes a yo-yo like this, isn't it? And we become unpredictable. And this is where people are scared in relating to us. Not sure whether that's good mood or bad mood, okay? And that's not good at all. There must be a steadiness about life and living, you see, which is, I think, so important for all of us in this regard here. So join in worship and praise, even though you don't feel like it. But you know, friends, when you do that after a while, you have launched off. Slowly, slowly, you get onto it. At the end of the time of worship and praise and prayer, you feel good after that. Amen. Can I urge you to do that? And the psalmist tells us, yet I will still praise him. Not only, friends, you know what? What happens is that talk to ourselves, turn our attention to God, choose to praise him. More than that, friends, you know what? Learn to be grateful. Because the same, all right, few words there tells us, for our yet praise him. Choose to be grateful, isn't it? See, many times, especially can I say honestly for us Malaysians, we are complaining a lot. Hello? Every time we meet, we're telling all kinds of things that are wrong about Malaysia. We know, not that we don't know, but we just like to repeat going on and on like this, isn't it? All right? And sometimes we're not learning to be grateful and thankful. But this is a great country, wonderful country. Amen? Isn't it? It's a wonderful place to be, isn't it? So many good things. Our roads are world-class. Our bridges are so good. Okay? Our communication, our airport, everything, all very good, isn't it? All right, everything is really amazing, okay, and food is good, and people are even better. All right, what a blessing, isn't it, that we have here, and we don't know how to celebrate and give thanks God for the many, many good things we have, isn't it, for you and I like this. And for us Malaysians, we are blessed, isn't it? I know after this, I'm dashing off for a wedding dinner. You know what? The good thing about here in Malaysia is that we only need one wear, same wear and cheap wear, isn't it? No need to change one, just go off for a wedding dinner. Right now, sometimes there are some people, my goodness, they open a wonderful wardrobe, and then your wife will say to you, don't know what to wear. My goodness, full of clothes, don't know what to wear. But you know, Malaysian, very good. One way, same way, cheap way, just go, isn't it? All right now, to celebrate the grace of God. But friends, you know, honestly, there's so many good things here in Malaysia. We must learn to be grateful and thankful, isn't it? Every time we switch, light comes on. Every time I turn the tap, water comes on, usually. But no, it's good. So friends, you know, this is so important. Why? Because an attitude of gratitude, right, will produce a great altitude. You know, if you and I hang around grumbling, grumpy people, after a while, we find our spirit will be weighed down. Isn't it? Will be weighed down. It's like that. And you hang around negative people, always complaining a lot. If you're not careful, it will affect you. And slowly, so some of the negative spirit will begin, right, to seep into your life and begin unconscious and bite it. So that slowly, so if you're not careful, you become also very negative, you see. So I want to hang around, right, not with negative people. Oh, yes, sometimes I hang trying to change that. I want to hang around with positive people. Because I know, friends, you know, some people bring joy wherever they go. Other people bring joy whenever they go. Okay, let me repeat. All right, someone say a bit slow to catch up. Some of us bring joy wherever we go. Other people bring joy whenever they go. Isn't it? So what kind of person do we want to be? It's a choice we make, isn't it? Friends, if you hang out grateful, thankful people, you are cheered up in your spirit, isn't it? You are refreshed, renewed, and that's so important, isn't it? There's so many things, give thanks. And so when a person is down, tell the person, what are you grateful about? Why? Because a discouraged, depressed person is very self-absorbed. Always cannot see beyond the four walls of that room, of that person. journey with that person, walk with that person. Is there anything you're thankful to God about? Anything you're grateful? Isn't it? So important. Why? Because in that way, you shift your attention away from self to something else, and ultimately, friends, to God, which is, I think, so important for all of us in regard. But there's a fifth thing. The psalmist here tells you and I, friends, testify to the fact that he is Savior and God. Why? Because at the end of verse 5, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. What a blessing, isn't it? He has saved us, isn't it? And this is the greatest celebration you and I can have as a child of God, okay, as beloved of God, isn't it? This is the greatest celebration. So in spite of all that we go through, can we just give thanks that I'm a child of God, I'm precious to God, I'm special to him, isn't it? It's so important. And therefore, reach out to share with other people, right? Because reach out to share with other people that you can be a child of God, friends. It transforms our attitude, being caught up just with ourselves. It changes our mindset. It changes our perspective and direction. Just a week and a half ago, I was in Singapore. From weekend to weekend, preached in two Methodist churches and spent time there. And I had to speak to Far East organization people. And then the CEO sent his driver to pick me, all right, to and fro, that kind of thing. And on the way back, I said, Charles, thanks for taking us back to the hotel, Charles. I really appreciate it. By the way, you know I'm a pastor, okay? What are some of the interesting, special people you have fetched around all these years? I said, can you tell me some? So he rattled off a few names. Okay, so-and-so, so-and-so, wow, okay. And then say one final one is actually, I fetch, okay, the former ambassador of Argentina around. I say, that's great, really, wonderful, praise that, praise God for that. You know, Charles, I'm also ambassador. I'm ambassador for Christ. So you are blessed to fetch another ambassador. So I shared Jesus with him all the way, all right? And said, Charles, you know, out of 8 billion people now, God bring ambassador to talk to you. When we arrive, I led Charles to faith in Christ. What a joy, what a blessing, isn't it? Right now. And in that organization that I was with, in that 9 days there, I led 3 of the staff members in that organization to the Lord. And I told people there, I think if I spend more time with the organization, I may end up leading everyone to faith in Christ. Friends, you know, praise him who is our Savior. He's done amazing things. Don't just complain of all the terrible things. Many good things God done in all our lives. Amen. Praise him. But you know, the amazing thing is this psalm here gives us some final wonderful reminders. What a powerful psalm, friend 42. What are some of the final reminders? Okay, firstly, friends, to remember God's love. Why? Because the first part of verse 8, by day the Lord directs his love. God's love is directed to me. I'm a child of God. I'm precious to God, my friends. And that's why, friends, Apostle Paul could write like this, Romans 8 and verses 38 and 39. Paul says, write to us like this, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Imagine, friends, nothing can separate us from the love of God. How amazing, isn't it? Someone is wheeled in, right, for brain surgery. As he's been wheeled in, you know, sometimes brain surgery could be touch and go. As he's wheeled in, suddenly the love of God hit him. The love of God just grabs his heart that he knows he'll be okay. Friends, you know, that's what you and I have, to know this God loves me amazingly and wonderfully. Amen. You are now precious to God. Not to let, friends, a second reminder, the psalmist tells us, remember to sing. Why? Because here, second verse, at night, his song is with me. Hey, sing la. Hello? Come to church, sing la. Right now, don't just wait for the 20 minutes to over so you can sit down. Join in the singing. All right, have joy and laughter and fun and everything else. It's never to sing. Finally, friends, you know. All right, remember to keep praying. Why? Because at the end of verse 8, a prayer to the God of my life. He's God my life. I can pray to him, talk to him. And that's so important. Let me close with this. I know time has really moved on. There's a person who was in prison. And he has been in prison. The sense of loneliness, despair, discouragement, and some measure depression sets upon him. As we know, it must be tough and difficult, isn't it? One day, a spider crawled through a window into his cell. And the spider sits there, not moving. And he was looking at the spider. As he was looking at the spider, just wondering. You know, friends, God spoke to him. God says, I sent a spider to accompany you. I've sent a friend for you to let you know I have not forgotten you, to let you know you are precious. You are my child. I have not left you. The spider stayed with him for quite a long time, and suddenly it hits him. The spider is inside the cell with me, but a spider never feels he's in prison. Hello? Imprisonment is a mindset you and I need to work through. Why? Because you and I can walk free here, but we can also be in prison, you know that? And some people are imprisoned by the unforgiveness, the bitterness, hatred, and anger. That person is in prison, even though he walks free. And there are many people in prison by wounds and pains in life that they have not learned to let go, not learned to release, not learned to forgive, and they carry this with them. They are really imprisoning themselves. God spoke to him. The spider, although in prison with you, is not in prison. They changed his mindset, totally transformed him, taking a new dimension of living. Now I can go and talk to him, give thanks and praise him in prison, sing to him aloud. Why? Because I'm free, because I can talk to him, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Friends, that's what God wants to bring to you and I. When we are under duress, when we are stricken as it were by ill health, look beyond yourself to this living God who wants to help us and remind us His love will never leave us. To remind us, sing to Him. To remind us, could you talk to Him? And that's what prayer is. And friends, when you and I do that, it brings release, it brings freedom. We are lifted up from discouragement. We are lifted up from burdens we carry. We are lifted up from depression. We see the world in new light altogether, friends. And that's what God wants to do in your life, my life. Amen. Let us pray. With head bowed and eyes closed, I want to first extend a first invitation to anyone. If you've not known Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you don't have a personal relationship with Him, either here, okay, in person, or you're watching online. If you don't, I want to lead you in the prayer to trust in Jesus very quickly. All right. Would you follow after me in your heart this prayer as I lead you in prayer? Lord Jesus Christ, I thank and I praise you for your love for me. I want to say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and your power, and give me your love, peace, and joy. And help me from today onwards to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, seal it deep in every heart, every life we pray this prayer. You know it all, whether here in person or online. And bring to pass this new birth and new life, and draw these people in the fellowship, even at UMC here, to be discipled and grow, and to get rich and touch many for you, Father, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray for those of us who are feeling a bit low, weighed down, maybe discouraged, in despair, sometimes even desperate and depression. I want to pray for your friends. So if it is, all right, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, can you just raise up your hand wherever you are? Either down, okay, stands up in the gallery. Wherever you are, with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're like, I want to pray for you. Is there anyone? Raise up your hand high. I want to pray for you. Is there anyone? I want to pray for you. This is a precious moment because I felt that some of us could be going through challenges. Yes, thank you. I see your hand. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Yes, several hands. Yes, thank you. Right at the back. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I see several hands. Yes, another one. Another one. Yes, thank you. God wants to do something amazing in us, friends. All right. Let me pray for you all. Father, I pray for these precious, precious people, oh God. You know them all, Father, in all that they're going through. Lord, I take authority in Jesus' name to lift away from them burdens and pains and stress and heartaches and wounds, oh God. Frustration, disappointment, disillusionment, discouragement, despair, even over depression. that in Jesus' name I take authority, O God, to bind, to loosen these things from these, my brothers and sisters, and set them free in Jesus' name, Father, I pray. And fill them anew and afresh, O God, I ask, with the Holy Spirit and your power. Renew their minds, O God, I pray. So that, Father, I ask, Lord Jesus, O God, look up to you, O God. Talk to you, connect with you, learning to sing and praise you, learning to know afresh again. Lord God, I pray, Father, these precious, they are precious children of yours. You love them with everlasting love, and nothing can separate them from your love. So bless these precious ones, Father, I pray, and do a deep and a mighty work in every one of them, O God, I ask, our Father. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Can we just stand, if you don't mind, to sing one quick song as we close? Then I want to, pronounce a benediction upon all of us. Is it okay? Just a quick one. All right, time is really moving on. Yeah. Maybe some of us, want to pray. Will you come forward as well? The pastors and ministry team here will pray for you, okay? So do come, all right, any one of you. Right, we just want to extend this opportunity for you to be prayed for, ministered to in a wonderful manner. Yes, just come with you. Just keep on coming. We're going to pray for you. But an opportunity, friends, and to just experience, encounter fresh the grace of God in a wonderful manner. I know sometimes we are disconnected, and out of disconnection, it results in disorientation in us. And sometimes we are confused. Will you come? We'll pray for you. And let God's grace just be released into your life. Thank you, Lord. Yes, friends, just come. We're a family here. We're here to help one another, friends. Some of us are challenged in our place of work, challenged in our relationship, friends. All right. Yeah, just friends, just come. Right, whether in relationship, it be work, it be burdens you carry. All right, allow God's grace to come upon you all. Up your hands, let me pray, okay? Father, I thank and praise you for the blessing and the grace that is yours, oh God. We can gather like this, and some of us, even for the first time after a period of time, oh God, we rejoice, celebrate your grace, your goodness upon us all. Teach us, Father, I pray, oh God, again, to know what to do when we are weighed down by problems, difficulties, challenges, oh God, I pray. Help us, our Father, O God, to tackle these that come along our way, whether discouragement, despair, disillusionment, even depression, Father, I pray. And help us to journey with other people as well, maybe going through these like this, O God. So we're going to see breakthroughs, O God, in our lives. So we continue our rejoice, celebrate your grace upon our lives, to know the love of yours, O God. Our Father, will continue to fill us again and again, O God, in a wonderful manner. O God, to be able to sing to you, to pray, to worship and praise and celebrate. Thank you for the joy, the blessing, privilege we can gather together as a people of yours, that we belong and belong together, that we can gather in a house of yours to worship you. What joy and blessing that is ours. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, give a clap over to Jesus. Amen.